I think it was about 2 months ago. I had a, I'm going to call her a young lady because I don't think of certain people because of their youthful expressions as being old. And so she was telling me that her heart is starting to flutter, flop around in her chest. She would try to walk a short distance and she felt palpitations. And she actually had a little bit of pain. So she was telling me she went to the cardiologist and she was diagnosed as having atrial fibrillation. You know how there's an expression of pharmaceutical drugs for almost every problem. That's not me trying to be critical, but it's just the way it is today. So much training is what drug do you give for this problem? And that's, again, not me being critical, but the way it is. What if there was another reason behind somebody having atrial fibrillation, and you might want to know that? I kind of think that if you're listening to this program, that kind of puts you in a special place, and I really appreciate you for that. You could be doing anything else right now, but you've decided to join me on the radio so we can start to discuss some of the interesting ideas of how you can heal your body naturally. Of course, with me, you've got the person that believes in healing. I mean, you do too, though. I mean, don't you agree with me? God has designed the body to heal itself. If only you will do the very thing that it needs to heal. And sometimes, healing takes place when you remove the very obstacle to healing. I know it's kind of a goofy analogy, but Superman could totally stop a train on the tracks that was coming through downtown Jacksonville. Especially if he puts his back into it, right? But if you put kryptonite near him, he becomes so weak that the train would roll right over him. Well, sometimes you think of health as that way also. You've got to remove the obstacle to healing. This woman was telling me that she did not like a diagnosis of atrial fibrillation. And one of the main points that she made was, I cannot take and tolerate the side effects of these drugs. And so I said, well, what did your doctor say? And she said, he said I'll be on these drugs the rest of my life. And I thought to myself, well, how does he know? What if she heals and no longer needs a medication? Or what if a man I talked to the other day with AFib, what if he heals and no longer requires it? Well, I started like pouring through some of the medical literature just to kind of refresh my mind because I already had my ideas about this. And when I came across this, I thought to myself, okay, this is all making sense right here. I do not know if you have heard this information before, but even if it's for the first time, I think it's good. And so here goes. When I was pouring through the medical literature this morning, about 30 minutes ago, I came across an article. I didn't read the whole article. Yeah, I just read the abstract, but you know, sometimes you just got to get the gist of it and run with it. But they're showing that any time that blood sugar levels are a bit elevated, so let me tell you what I think is perfect here. If you go to the doctor for an examination or you check your own blood sugar, somewhere between 70 to 80 milligrams per deciliter of glucose, that's a pretty good number. Now, if that number was 90, I'd be okay with that too. If it's 91 or 2, that doesn't really bother me. But when your fasting blood sugar starts hitting above 100, on one level, that's kind of considered pre-diabetic. And just to kind of cut to the chase, if your fasting blood sugar is 126, well then bingo. You're probably going to get a diagnosis of diabetes. Most likely, they'll give you a drug called metformin to start off with. Metformin is a drug that helps improve insulin sensitivity. That means it makes it possible for your cells to soak up more sugar so it can be burned in the mitochondria for fuel. The problem with metformin is it causes a vitamin B12 deficiency. The last time that I checked, you need your mind to be sharp all the days of your life. You don't want to have one of those memories that starts to go by the wayside and you go, oh my word, am I developing dementia? Do I have Alzheimer's in my future? Well, without B12, your brain cells, they can't rejuvenate themselves. And there are plenty of studies and reports that show when someone's low in B12, their memory is toast. They just don't have a great memory. And so point number one, the higher your blood sugar, the greater the risk, or the primary reason why you may have atrial fibrillation or AFib. Now, what does this mean as far as the solution goes? Well, I just want to kind of lay it out for you. Do you know what a low-carbohydrate diet is? Basically, it would be a diet based on eating meat and vegetables. But the very best vegetables that you can consume are the ones that tend to be most nutrient-dense, and they have the most vitamins and minerals. But the other benefit is they are relatively low in carbohydrates. So if you go into this knowing that atrial fibrillation is always worsened and brought on by more carbs, more sugar, higher blood sugar, well, what would that look like? Well, what if you were to try a lower carbohydrate diet for about a month? That'd be no bread, no pasta, no rice, no flour, no refined sugar, no high fructose corn syrup. It almost kind of creates this interesting healing vacuum, doesn't it? Without all the starches and the grains and the sugar in your life, oh my word, you might just have created one of the greatest opportunities for your body to heal of all time. Of course, when I say no flour, wouldn't that speak of, no cookies, no cake, maybe no pie, no continual donuts and dessert? I didn't say you couldn't have a piece of cake or pie or cobbler. But if you have it all day long every day, you're going to tax your body to its very limit. Shouldn't it be mandatory if somebody has AFib? Why don't we try a low-carbohydrate diet at first and just see if the heart heals? What if it can right the ship? What if it can heal itself where you don't need the drugs? But you know what? Doctors today, they tend to view themselves in the very short time they have with a patient as the person that's going to prescribe a drug to fix a problem. But you know as well as I do, quite often, those just do not work. According to a recent study, diabetics are at a 40% increased risk of developing atrial fibrillation compared to people that don't have diabetes. There's another study right there that proves that blood sugar is a key component. Now, I don't know if you've heard of this before. There is a very unique substance or a protein. It's an inflammatory protein. It's called homocysteine. If you remember me saying a long time ago, I don't expect you to, that's why I'm refreshing our memories today, that homocysteine levels, they are more predictive of cardiovascular and heart problems than total cholesterol is. See, if you had a lipid profile and it measures your total cholesterol, your triglycerides, your LDL cholesterol, which is quite often referred to as the bad cholesterol, I don't really see it that way. Yes. If the cholesterol begins to rust and it's oxidizing in the body, like rust, that's bad. But if it's elevated but you have a calcium scoring test of zero, then it's just fine. It's not a problem at all. We've got to come to terms with that. Cholesterol is not the enemy necessarily. Even beyond that, I know I'm kind of floating a simple idea to you, but I think that you're smart enough to figure it out. LDL cholesterol, or LDL lipoprotein, it may end up being the greatest sponge to soak up poisonous waste from the bloodstream of anything that I've ever seen before. So if you go to the doctor and they say your cholesterol's high, well, maybe we could take a step back and say, well, why is it high? Maybe it's high for one reason. That's to protect you from being harmed by poisonous waste. You may remember that children that are raised on farms where they use a lot of herbicides and insecticides and pesticides or chemicals, constantly spraying Roundup along the fence post to keep weeds from growing, I understand why they would do that. I'm not trying to criticize somebody. But cholesterol always goes up as long as you live on the farm. I mean, these industrial farms where the chemicals are sprayed. That's because cholesterol is soaking up the poisonous Roundup it gets in your body. The other day, I was over in, what part of Tyler was it? Maybe close to the middle of Tyler. But I had to stop, I had to pull over so I could write something down that I thought was important to me. It's kind of funny how that works. I think, okay, Roy, pull over, get out a little index card. That's just what I use. I tried post-it notes, but they're too flimsy. So if I get like a big stack of index cards, that's my method of like scribbling down thoughts that I have, or if I'm trying to organize something. And as I was, I had my windows down because it was kind of warm. And as I was writing a note down on three or four thoughts that I had that I wanted to make sure I remember so I could kind of like ponder them and pursue them later, there was a maintenance person wearing shorts. And, man, they were going to town spraying Roundup along all the cracks in the sidewalk and the curbs. And I thought to myself, hey, that overspray's coming my way. I'm out of here. So I just put down my pencil and my index card, and I took off. I don't want to be soaked up with the chemicals. You don't either. So diabetics, they tend to have the most problem with AFib. One of the things that I came across also, and I don't have a great number for you because the studies that I came across were done on dogs, and I know this is cruel, but in a laboratory experiment, they induced atrial fibrillation in dogs in the lab, which, poor dogs, I hate that. I don't like that. Maybe that's better than using a human, I don't know, but I still don't like that anyway. I don't like to torture animals. But they found that there's one unique component from fish oil. I mean, you've heard of cod liver oil before, haven't you? Yeah, it's a superfood. And cod liver oil contains one unique fraction of what's called an essential fatty acid. Sometimes it's called DHA for short. That's like docosahexaenoic acid, DHA. They said that the EPA, I think I was talking, I tried to remember this the other day because I was like thinking about this. And I think I was trying to express this to Dorothy, but I couldn't quite get it right in my memory. But now I've got it clear. But it's the DHA, not so much the EPA, that was able to reverse the atrial fibrillation in dogs. And so here's what I want to float your direction. There may be a component in fish oil that actually is very beneficial for the health of your heart. You feel like we're good on that topic? I like that topic. And so, if you just take the two first things that I told you and say, all right, what am I going to do to heal my heart? And let me say this. Would you believe me if I told you, and maybe you don't know this information, but I know that you're going to process what I'm telling you, and I want you to prayerfully and thoughtfully consider this. But if you reduce your carbohydrates, you are creating an environment for your heart to repair itself. And so I'm trying to convince you right now that your heart is one of the most incredible organ systems in your body. Do you know that your heart's incredible? It is, for lots of reasons. You need it for many reasons, not just for pumping blood and oxygen through your veins. You probably need it because with it, you feel things. Sometimes you feel things that are really, really good. And sometimes you feel things that are very, very painful. But you need your heart. And it needs to work for you. And so if you reduce carbohydrates and focus just on the low-starch vegetables, those would be things like cabbage. I don't know about anybody else here, but I could eat coleslaw almost every single day. It just seems to really melt into my system on a good level, and it's not stressful, and it feels good. Is that kind of weird for me to say that? But between cabbage and broccoli and cauliflower and kale, asparagus, Brussels sprouts, those are some of the best vegetables of all time. If you say, but Dr. Morgan, I like to eat salads. Oh, my word. Do it, woman. Or do it, man. If you can consume a salad, you are going to give your body a boatload of potassium. There's no way that you can even compare with the amount of potassium. See, I think electrolytes, to a large degree, are just sort of ignored. I know, because people call me and say, Dr. Morgan, do you want me to bring a copy of my blood work when I come to see you? And I say, absolutely. Let's see if we can uncover any rich details that might give us a great incremental advantage. And the way that my mind is wired, I will take any advantage on understanding what's wrong with a person, if it means helping getting them to a good place pretty quick and restoring their health. Because your health, that is your ticket to going out into the world and living the life of your dreams, right? If I had a nickel for every time somebody called me on the phone and said, my doctor says all the blood labs are great, only to have them sit in front of me with their labs, I'm going, look at this. Your potassium is too low. Your chloride is low. Your magnesium. Your sodium. Those are all electrolytes right there. So when you eat one salad a day, maybe you can do this as an experiment for the next 2 weeks. Eat one salad a day. You know, this is just downright easy compared to the way it used to be. You could actually go to the grocery store and you could buy a pre-mixed, pre-washed, clean salad mix. I'm not saying I believe they're always clean. If you ever see a bag of salad and it looks like a balloon that's about to burst, do not buy that. There's a little bit of fermentation or something going on in there, and it may be a little bit toxic. I learned that years ago when I went to the Food and Drug Administration on a tour when I was in junior college. I went to HCJC. Only a few people know what that is. But when you see cans of vegetables bulging at the seams, that is no bueno. Do not eat those. It could be contaminated with botulism or something like that. But you could literally get a salad mix. It could be based on kale and cabbage or Brussels sprouts. And they have apple cider vinegar, vinaigrette, olive oil dressings that are like awesome. Bragg's would be one of them. And you could do that. You know, I'm probably a little bit unusual in this department, but I feel really, really good when I eat fish. Maybe I'm thinking about the study when they induced AFib in dogs and then they gave them DHA, which comes from cod liver oil, and it was able to fix it. Now, I could not find a human study, but I came across that one. So how could you go wrong by eating fish? You may not realize, but sardines, they are a superfood. You may not like them. The ones that I like the best are the ones that are boneless and skinless, and they are packed in extra virgin olive oil. And you can tell when they're high quality. That'll set you back about $2. But between that and the salad mix, you've got a pretty cheap lunch compared to going out to eat. But you've got something that can give you that rich nutritional density. Just to give you a little bit of heads up, when you are stressed, your body is burning through these precious minerals that you're holding in reserve so fast that you're losing them at a faster rate. And so usually the faster the blood flows through your body, the cleaner it is. The slower that blood moves through your body, the dirtier it is. So when you're low in potassium, hey, you got dirty blood. A salad goes a long way to giving you a rich supply of potassium and electrolytes. Here we go right here. You have heard of a unique mineral known as magnesium. Sometimes magnesium is known as nature's natural calcium channel blocker. Oh, my word, is it good for you. So one of the ways when someone goes under the knife, that probably will get people going. I mean if you have a surgical procedure on your heart. Well, what they do is, you know how they prevent AFib when somebody has heart surgery? They give them intravenous magnesium sulfate. Have you ever heard of that before? Do you know what the street term is for magnesium sulfate? It's called Epsom salt. You can't tell me Epsom salt is bad for you. Now, magnesium chloride, that's a little bit different animal. That comes from the Dead Sea in Israel. I've heard of people going to these flotation isolation tanks where they put lots and lots of magnesium chloride to cause people to float in those. I would do that. I haven't done it, but I would. So one of the things I want you to think of, besides me mentioning potassium earlier, you've got to consider magnesium if you have any issues with your heart. The other thing that I want to sell you on this morning is, without magnesium, your blood sugar levels go up every single time. I remember probably 20 years ago, I was reading a report from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and they were looking at soils. Well, what does that tell you if the soil is deficient in magnesium? Well, it's going to be kind of hard to get magnesium from the food that you're eating. if the soil itself doesn't have magnesium in it. You know, one of the greatest fertilizers of all time is seaweed. The ocean and seaweed and grasses from the sea, they are so nutrient dense. Have you ever heard of somebody going and buying these nori sheets or these seaweed sheets or these seaweed snacks? Not everybody likes them. But if you can get your kids to eat seaweed sheets, you are ahead of the game on healing your kids and making them strong. Now, this right here, I find interesting. I started talking about blood thinners, but I think that I'm going to get into such a deep topic, I better skip that one. But there's one particular blood marker that they find is a very powerful marker to measuring inflammation. I don't know if you've heard of C-reactive protein or a blood test called sedimentation rate. Well, the one that I'm discussing right now is called TNF. That stands for tumor necrosis factor. Well, elevated tumor necrosis factor, they're always associated with atrial fibrillation. So if you have atrial fibrillation or you have a relative that does, well, you can bet your bottom dollar they've got too much inflammation in the blood, and we want to kind of clear that up. Probably sugar is the greatest inflammatory substance of all time. If you want to wreck a human being's health, give them a lot of sugar, it'll do it. It's like the crack cocaine of junk food. And so if you have elevated tumor necrosis factor, well, if you want to go the medical route, yes, you can have your doctor prescribe you a drug called Enbrel or Intercept, and they can just give you injections over and over again. But here's where I want to approach it from a nutritional perspective, because what if one of the problems is you're just deficient in nutrients? Did you know that you can inhibit all this inflammation from tumor necrosis factor alpha if you just take vitamin D? Has anybody ever heard of vitamin D3? Oh, my word. If you're living under a rock, maybe you haven't. But if you even heard a little bit on the radio, like this program or other news reports or television, vitamin D3 is so essential to making sure that aspects of your immune system work properly. So vitamin D3 has been shown to get rid of tumor necrosis factor. Another compound that I like to talk about is called resveratrol. That would be that polyphenol compound that's found in the skins of grapes. And so if you like to drink a glass of red wine, you will get no judgment from me. Because lo and behold, the darker the wine, the more color it has, the more nutrient density. It's chock full of nutrients. You're going to get some resveratrol. That's been shown to get rid of inflammation in the blood. To me, it's not surprising at all when people live in a part of the world a long, long, long time, and they take a look at them to find out what's going on here, and they happen to drink a glass of red wine a day. Might be worth a consideration. Another nutritional substance is called quercetin. That's found, interestingly enough, in apples and onions. Have you ever heard the phrase that an apple a day keeps a doctor away? Another one I want to share with you is called IP6. That's the short version. It's an extract they get from rice bran. So when they harvest rice, they're going to try to mill off the husk or the bran so they can get to the nutritional part of the rice. Kind of like separating the wheat from the chaff. But that's called inositol hexaphosphate. The stuff is cheap compared to drugs. If you drink a lot of alcohol, yes. Somebody that drinks a lot of alcohol is asking for AFib or abnormal heart rhythms. I think partly one of the aspects of too much alcohol is it acts more like a carbohydrate than it does a fat or a protein. Or at least that's how your body processes it. But too much alcohol, you're asking for almost every health problem. But interestingly, just a little bit seems to be just fine. It seems to be protective. Of course, contrary to popular belief, coffee and caffeine actually appear to be slightly reduce the risk for having atrial fibrillation. One study that I came across shows that the more cups of coffee consumed, the lower the risk for AFib, but I would venture a guess there's an upper ceiling. I didn't finish the article where I could find out how much. I did see, though, that green tea extract, so if you like to drink green tea, That is a good call on your part. Came across another article that said when you get less than 5 hours sleep a night, you're asking for AFib. If you have sleep apnea, you're asking for AFib. Let me read this to you right here, and I'll go straight to the phone. We'll take some phone calls. Okay, sudden episodes of atrial fibrillation have been linked with mental stress. And here's one survey. One survey showed the most common triggering factor was mental stress when it was associated with AFib. That's only 54% of the time. When somebody just really exhausted their body physically, that means they overdid it, 42% of the time. If they were overly tired or infections. Okay, it says excessive alcohol also served as a triggering for palpitations at rest, 86% of the time. Anyway, you want to join me on the radio? The number is 903-586-5257. Until I get the first caller, go on a low-carbohydrate diet. Eat a salad a day. Take fish oil. You probably want to seriously supplement with two minerals. The most important ones are going to be magnesium, and then I would say zinc. Now, zinc, well, we're getting a phone call. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Oh,
it would help if I'd push the button. I'm sorry. I just pushed the button. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm calling from Virginia, where I'm streaming your show.
Which city in Virginia?
Well, it's the Eastern Shore, which is the peninsula between Chesapeake Bay and the Atlantic Ocean.
Oh,
and
my word.
Wallops Island. No one's ever heard of it.
Well, this is neither have I. But that's great, though. That's great. Well, thanks for your phone call.
Well, thank you. I'm wondering about ways to get relief from pain of arthritis in the knees and thumbs if the usual treatments of MSM and chondroitin don't have any effect, and acid reflux also, something other than baking soda, hopefully. And I'm also curious as to why Lamisil is hard in the liver.
Well, let me start with the last one first. This is going to be just me observing people. I've seen many older people that were prescribed Lamisil for like a fungal infection, only to see their health deteriorate so rapidly. And here's the next thing I want to give you an idea. One recent report that I was looking at was showing that you could literally have exactly 70% of your entire liver die and not even work. But your blood test for liver enzymes are still normal. And so maybe what I'm saying is the liver has an incredible capacity to take a lot of abuse before it finally breaks down. And so the next thing is, if a person is significantly overweight, like 20 pounds, it just goes without saying they have a fatty liver. And you have all this fat that infiltrates in the liver and is taking up space where normal liver cells could normally do their job, but they can't, because they are being squeezed and pressed upon from every side and angle with a whole bunch of fat. And so the real reason, the number one reason that I want to suggest why men and women have toenail fungus is they just don't have enough oxygen in the body. And so one very simple remedy that you may not have heard of, but if you haven't, I'll share it with you now. They used what's called ozonated sunflower seed oil. I know you know what a sunflower is, but they just squeeze the oil out of it. But they infuse it with a substance called ozone, which is just three molecules of oxygen. And if they applied ozonated sunflower oil, you know, that's an oxygen therapy. Maybe I should call it like an oxygen healing therapy. And so if you were to apply that, that would be so much safer on your body than using a drug like Lamisil. I think the Lamisil kills the liver, honestly.
Wow.
If you were to go to a website called drugs.com and type in Lamisil, they're going to be pretty straight with you. They're going to tell you that there's a risk of your liver just conking out on you if you take it. But in my point, from my point of view, the day you start taking Lamisil is the day your liver starts dying. I know that's kind of harsh, but it's because I love you, though. I don't want you to be... Now, let me give you some different ideas, okay? All right.
Okay.
This is going to be hard, but I want you to hear me.
Okay.
If you were to put both feet just flat on the ground, you can wear shoes or you can maybe be better barefooted. But if your heels and your feet are pointed straight ahead, they're about shoulder width, what I really want you to try to do later today is I want you to just go straight down, take your upper body, and just attempt to squat all the way down to the ground. When you can get the back of your hamstrings in full contact with your calf muscle, there's no way you can go any lower. Your feet are flat on the ground. You're fully bending the ankle. The knee is in full flexion, and your hips are in full flexion. There's no way you can go any lower. That's the position that's going to help recondition your knees. And so what your goal is, you're going to try to do that, a full, deep body squat while you maintain your balance. It's going to be a whole lot harder than what you think. But the goal is you've got to build up to where you can do that for about 10 minutes a day. Now, when I read the study that said they have observed that people that keep their knees and hips and they don't require replacements, they can do that for about 10 minutes a day. The image that I want you to think of is if you ever see someone from China smoking a cigarette, the only way that I've ever seen them smoke a cigarette is when they're in that full squat down on the ground. I know that sounds kind of funny, but that's just what I see when somebody from China smokes a cigarette. They're always squatting. Have you ever seen that before?
I have. I hadn't thought about that, but you're right.
Okay, well, hey, there you go. You and I are kind of connecting on that deal then. But if you can, now, I'm being straight with you. The first time I tried this, I think after 30 seconds, the blood supply was cut off to my brain. I probably fell over on the carpet. I said, hey, that ain't good, Roy. But now, after a couple of months of doing it, it's just so easy. So I find myself, if I'm getting a patient folder or a chart where I need to take some notes or refiling it, I just go into that full squat, and it's just getting easier and easier. Now, I'm not exactly where I want because I'd like my back to be a little bit more straight and erect. But I can tell you this, if you will start conditioning your knees and your hips, I think that you're going to start to see a very, very interesting change for the better. The other thing that I want to sell you on, is they're called knee circles. And maybe what you'll do is you'll just go to YouTube and type in full body squat with the feet flat and just see a demonstration. I think there's a series of videos that I really, really like on YouTube. And I think they're called NAT Move. And NAT Move is just short for natural movement. But they show and demonstrate all these techniques for getting your knees reconditioned. I invite you to go to YouTube and type in NATMOV. And you can write knees and hips or full body squat. The other thing that I really like about these videos, do you ever watch videos on YouTube where it takes you 30 minutes to get to the 10-second punchline? I can't do that.
Oh, yeah. That's not a good thing.
Well, these videos are going to be 15 to 20 seconds long, meaning you will watch somebody demonstrate the very thing that I want you to do to try to recondition your knees and heal them. So you'll just get right to it and you can start practicing it. Now, here's the other thing. When you practice these things, you're going to totally fail the first time you try, and maybe the 100th time you try. But, hey, don't get discouraged. I want you to look at this as a challenge that you're going to help save your knees and your hips. And so by doing these, oh, my goodness, you're going to have such a great benefit. I'm getting a text right here. They're saying, full body squat, do you stay in the squat position for 10 minutes or up and down for 10 minutes? You stay in the position for 10 minutes or you build to where you can stay into it. So maybe the first goal is just doing it for 30 seconds, then building up to 1 minute. And so if you go to NAT Move, it's going to cut right to it. You're going to see it and you can do it. And so you will get better with practice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you
and
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, the other arthritic problem is thumbs.
Yeah, well, let me give you, here's what I had in my mind, and this is going to be a little bit different, but just let me have at it here.
Mm-hmm.
There is a cactus that grows here in the South called aloe vera. I do not know how many varieties there are, but there's quite a few. But you know as well as I do, if you had like a burn on the back of your hand or a finger, wouldn't you just run over there to that aloe vera plant, snap a leaf off, and rub that gelatinous, gooey, slimy stuff all over it?
Sure.
I had a lady one time come to see me that had a hip replacement therapy, and the husband was telling me, he said, it won't heal. The surgical incision just keeps draining. There's like old blood that comes out. There's pus. They've tried all the antibiotics they can. And I, of course, I can't give these medical suggestions, but I just said to the husband, I said, well, what do you think you should do? And he said, well, I think what we should do, Dr. Morgan, is cut an aloe vera leaf in half and tape it to that surgical wound. I said, well, let me know what happens. And lo and behold, the aloe vera just pulled all the poison out of that surgical wound where it healed. Whereas for the last 6.5 months, it hadn't healed. I was impressed. But you can actually go to the health food store, or probably now, probably more like online stuff, you can purchase what's called aloe vera gel. And aloe vera gel looks like clear, gelatinous, gunky stuff when you squeeze out of the bottle. And the way that I like to do that, this is just my preferred method, I'll take a few ounces of kombucha and then stir this gelatinous stuff in there. But and the other thing is this. I am not going to be able to find one scientific study to back up what I'm saying. This is just pure observation. But if you want to rejuvenate your knees, let's rejuvenate them. If you take about 4 ounces of aloe vera gel a day, let's see what happens. Let's see after a short season your knees are getting better. Two other things real quick. I really think that MSM is really key to this right here from my experience. If you've taken it but it doesn't work, I'm going to suggest that you switch brands, maybe go with Solaray and take about 3 a day and see if that makes all the difference in the world, okay?
Okay.
Okay, number next, going to the acid reflux. You got too much inflammation. Now, I do want to ask you, and I'm not being judgmental, but do you have a lot of stress in your life?
Sometimes. It varies quite a lot.
Well, the aloe vera may actually kill two birds with one stone. I remember years ago I had a young man call me on the phone. He said, I'm doubled over in pain. I'm driving myself to the ER. I can't take it anymore. I said, hang on. What's wrong? He said, I've got so much pain in my stomach, I can't take it. And I said, well, where are you right now? He said, I'm in the parking lot of Walmart. I said, get in the store and go buy a bottle of aloe vera juice. Aloe vera gel is better. But what do you do when there's only aloe vera juice? We're going to go with what we got, right?
Right. Uh-huh. Now, this is the gel taken internally.
Right.
As well as applying it to the thumbs, topically.
Yeah, you can. And what I'm going to tell you to do in just a little bit is just take fresh lemon juice and rub it on your thumb 6 times a day. Let it air dry. That's one solution. Okay? But with this young man, I didn't have access to aloe vera gel. All we had was aloe vera juice. So I said, get in there. And I told him to drink about 2 ounces every 10 minutes. He totally complied with that. He said after the third dose, after about a half an hour, all his pain began to subside. And the other thing is, and I hope you can take this the right way, because sometimes, you know, people are going, well, hey, he needs to go to the ER and see a real professional. I agree with all that. I'm not disagreeing with that. But the other issue was, he's saying, I don't have money. Well, what do you do when you go to the ER and it's going to cost you $3,000 to get out of there? I told him, you got nothing to lose. You'll probably wait for 30 minutes anyway. Why don't you just try the aloe vera juice? But just buy into the idea that aloe vera is one of the greatest healing remedies of all time. It's just spectacular. And so when you're trying to recondition the lubricity of your joints and your disc of your spine and the shoulder and the elbow and the hands, listen, you got nothing to lose by trying aloe vera gel. And I think if you take it internally, that's going to be a really, really good call. The number one food that I see cause thumb pain is probably going to be sugar and wheat. Did I say number one? Okay, the top two. I can't count. So what do you think about those things?
Oh, that's very helpful, yes. Now, the lemon juice applied to the thumbs, you said 6 times a day? Or just a lot of times a day?
Well, I didn't flesh that out. I apologize. If you take a fresh wedge of lemon and you say, man, I'm just going to squeeze this fresh juice on my thumb, just rub it really, really good into your thumbs. I mean, it's easy. And let your skin drink it and soak it up. And so the lemon juice is one of the most interesting solvents that I've ever found in nature. I'm, like, totally devoted to the idea of lemon juice. Lemon juice is so good at dissolving debris that builds up in the liver and the gallbladder and the bile ducts. And even if you get all the scaling calcified gunk, lemon juice might be a solution. And so if you let it air dry, because of a little bit of sugar content in the lemon juice, it's going to be a little bit sticky. But you're okay with that, aren't you?
Oh, sure.
Hey, listen, you're a good sport. So lemon juice six times a day. And then in my fantasy world, what I really, really want for you, I want you to get what's called a hand paraffin bath. If you were to go on a website like eBay or Amazon or whichever, Walmart.com, doesn't matter to me, type in hand paraffin bath. Because with a hand paraffin bath, you could actually add some essential oils. Now, the oils that I would use for thumb pain would probably be frankincense and probably a little bit of tea tree oil. Just a little bit. But you know, I can tell by talking to you, you're a multi-zillionaire, so money is no object for you. Am I right?
Well, not about the multi-zillionaire, but I think anything invested in health is well invested.
So. Oh, you're so smart. And so let's just say it costs you $15 to $20 or $10 to buy a hand paraffin bath. It'll be self-explanatory. Just watch a YouTube video on how to use those. But, man, that's old school, baby. But they really, really work. And the last thing that I want to tell you for your thumbs, you need to be willing to experiment by taking a bowl of water and putting ice in it and just submersing your hands for 10 minutes a day. It's brutal. It hurts. But we want to have your body rise to the occasion and heal this arthritis of the thumbs, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And so if you don't eat sugar and you don't eat wheat and you're just eating meat and vegetables, by far and away, fish is absolutely the easiest protein on your digestive tract when you have acid reflux.
Uh-huh. What about the eggs and milk products like yogurt?
Well, the safest yogurt that I've ever seen for acid reflux is either sheep or goat yogurt. So if you happen to have a store, you probably don't have a health food store on the island that you live on. How far do you have to drive?
I have to drive about an hour, but I do that sometimes anyway. So,
well, if you were to go to the health food store and take your ice chest with you, load up on what's called sheep or goat yogurt. That's going to be so much easier on your system right now, and help it. We need to help your stomach to heal.
Yeah.
Okay. When's the last time? I know this is a personal question, but you don't mind me asking, do you?
No.
When was the last time that you were walking on the beach after a storm and just picked up a handful of Spanish doubloons and gold, you know, ornaments and rubies and sapphires that just washed up from a Spanish ship that sunk off the coast in a hurricane? How often does it happen to you?
Wouldn't that be nice? Well, I'll just say it doesn't happen nearly often enough.
Oh, so, but it has happened, right? Is that what I'm detecting?
Well, I'm still waiting for the first time.
Well, I tell you what, keep your expectations high. But if you'll try these things, let me know if you have a very good result.
Oh, okay. Very good. I will indeed.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but your phone call means a lot to me. And I think that you asked questions that were probably very, very important to a lot of people listening. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I'll try all these.
All right. Have a good day, buddy.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks
for
coming. Bye-bye. All right, thanks for your patience. There's a phone line once again open at 903-586-5257. There's probably, I don't know if you've gone to the store and you've seen even some of the nasal saline products contain aloe vera. So in my mind, you could probably take aloe vera and apply it to the eyes if you wanted to. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes, Dr. Morgan.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for your call.
I was wondering, does it have to be fresh lemon juice, or can I use like the organic Santa Cruz brand?
The only way that I've ever seen it really, really work is with the fresh.
Okay.
But you're asking a very good question that probably a whole bunch of people wanted to ask also, so that's great. I think you're speaking for a lot of people right now. But if you use fresh lemon juice, it has what are called living enzymes, and I think that's the game changer here.
Okay, and is that, and that's also going to be true about doing like lemon water in the morning time? It needs to be the fresh lemons, not the.
I really believe that's true. I don't know if you know this or not, but every person that walks in my door is my own personal guinea pig, so I get to test everything on the spot and find out what works. But it's the fresh lemon juice that you squeeze in a glass of water that has that vital life force and energy that the one that's pasteurized in the bottle doesn't have.
Okay, and what about, when you're talking about the aloe vera juice, is that the same as aloe vera water?
Pretty much. I mean, aloe vera gel, once they water it down and kind of cut it and dilute it, that's aloe vera juice, basically. But okay. The gel, that's the thick stuff that looks like clear caulking. Or like if you were to make a bowl of Jell-O, that's what the stuff looks like, minus the cherry or strawberry or orange color or lime color Jell-O.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's called aloe vera gel. G-E-L, gel.
Okay, and one last question, and then I'll hop off. I've got fatty liver, and so I am a diabetic, and I'm trying to get all that under control. So I need to try to defat my liver and everything, and because my blood sugar is starting to get out of control, and I need to get it back into control.
You may not know this, but I so appreciate your question and your desire to be very open and vulnerable on the radio, and I think that you're helping a lot of people by this. Now, the second part is, I asked the group that I go once a month to Breaking Bread and give a little health talk, and I think November the 9th, from 12 to maybe 12:45, somewhere around there, I usually talk for about 45 minutes, give or take, but I asked them, I said, what do y'all want me to cover next? And the last time I was there, guess what they wanted me to talk about? They want me to talk about fatty liver. So I'm going to cover that topic in detail at the health food store in Jacksonville on November the 9th. At 12 o'clock.
Is that a Saturday?
No, it's going to be on a Monday.
Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to get one.
What? That does it. I'm not doing it if you're not going to be there.
I'm sorry, I work.
No. Well, here we go. Let's just go ahead and cover it just very briefly. What I want you to consider is your fortunes can completely turn on a dime for the better if you do the following things.
Okay.
I need you to greatly increase the blood supply to your liver. We got to get more blood flowing through it. So if you could just simply walk, that could be a game changer if you do that day in, day out. The more blood that we get to the liver, the greater the chance that we're going to start dissolving that fat. Now, going back to the lemon juice for a second. I have seen that lemons work over and over again for the liver. It's going to take about two a day to get the job done, or two good-sized lemons.
Okay.
But the whole key is you've got to control your intake of carbohydrates. And so I know this is pretty weird what I'm fixing to say, but if you get to a place where you no longer crave carbohydrates and you're more satisfied with your food, that's going to be the biggest home run in your life, because you're going to say, man, I don't want chips anymore. I don't want to eat bread. I just don't want sugar. I don't want to drink soft drinks. But if I can get you to run toward foods that actually are going to nourish your liver, we're going to have a home run. So it's going to be really hard to beat. If you need a starch, we got to go with sweet potatoes.
Okay.
Do you like avocados?
I do like avocados.
Could you eat a salad of the day?
I could.
Why did you say it that way?
Well, I don't like sweet potatoes.
Okay, well, do you like sweet potato fries?
No, I don't like sweet potatoes.
You are being so difficult with me today, woman. Well, if you don't like those, then we got to find what is you're going to like. Now, I've noticed just with myself, if I eat a couple of mouthfuls or forkfuls of Bubby's sauerkraut every day, I feel as if I want less carbohydrates. That may sound weird, but I think that if you're trying to recondition the body, the Bubby's sauerkraut is a conditioning agent to help heal the digestive tract. Now, you may want to take an herb called milk thistle to help your liver come back online again. But if you can just focus on vegetables, do you like broccoli and cabbage and cauliflower and kale?
I can do cabbage. I like cabbage.
Well, what do you normally like to eat then? What's your favorite thing to eat?
Well, you know, I like Irish potatoes, but, you know...
Well, if you're going to have them, here's how you do it. You cook the Irish potatoes. They're fully done. But instead of eating them, you just shove them right in the refrigerator and leave them there for 12 hours. Take them out again the next day and eat them. You will get half the carbohydrates. That's what you got to have. We got to lower the carbohydrates to get the fatty liver to resolve itself and to heal.
Okay.
Do you like to eat meat?
I do like meat. I have a freezer full of meat.
Okay, well, you're set in that department. But if I told you it's basically going to be low-starch vegetables and going to be meat.
Okay.
Now, if you just ate two meals a day, you would get there pretty quick. Now, I'm a fan of dandelion root tea. I drink it every day just because I like the stuff.
Okay.
And,
well, I am doing the two meals a day already. I started doing that to try to get an increased fast.
Well, do you think you're seeing a change that's positive right now?
Yeah, I've lost 10 pounds. So.
Well, look at you. Way to go. That's great.
All right, well, I'm going to hop off because I know there's more people that want to ask you questions, and I learned so much listening to you.
Oh, thank you so much for your phone call. That means a lot to me.
And you have a blessed day, okay,
oh,
sir?
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, sir.
Okay, that was very sweet of her. There's a phone line open at 903-586-5257. That's 903-586-5257. You know what your life is going to be like when your liver shrinks back down to its normal size? It's going to start purifying you and cleaning your body and detoxifying on a great level. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yeah.
Hello.
I've been calling for a long time.
Can you turn your radio off, please?
I'm trying to work these buttons.
There you go. You got to turn the radio off.
I did turn it off.
Okay.
Okay, maybe that'll help.
It did. It was perfect.
I've been trying to call a long time. Is this actually the number for KB Gas?
It is. 586-5257.
Right. Well, they changed it from the one on the printing of their stuff from a long time ago.
Oh,
that's okay.
Okay.
At least you get to the line. Well, I mean, I felt like an idiot. I tried to call them about 2 weeks ago, and I've been calling them every day. I've got their fax machine. One time hit a recording where Randy said, press one, hit Randy Feddersen, but it never got me to him. And all I was calling for was give them $1,000. You'd think they'd want it. I guess they're too rich.
Well, we had a little slight problem. We had a coronavirus quarantine here at the radio station, so in order to keep people from getting sick, we told people not to come kiss Randy and hug him. So,
well, I can understand that.
Yeah.
That
so sense. There wasn't anybody here, and it wasn't because of this. But anyway,
now I'll be able to get a hold of them. There's no work this time.
Yeah. You can call Monday morning, and Randy will be here.
Oh, no problem. He's usually there.
Yeah, you're right about that. He's very faithful.
Yeah, he is. I've known him for about 30-some years. He's always been around.
And you're still friends with him?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm just joking.
Well, I hadn't seen him in probably 25, 30 years. But
you've talked to him, right? You stay in contact with him?
Well, I talked to him a few times on the phone, but, I don't get out. Oh, I've had several strokes, which is one reason I'm calling. I quit believing in doctors for a number of reasons. Like you say, they're not. You pay $400 for 15 minutes of time, and they run all these tests, and everything's good, and they want to put you in the hospital and run diet through you and then be ready to do an operation.
What would you prefer?
Someone knew what the hell they were. I would let my vet cut my dog open or do something like that to my dog if my dog was sick.
So if you go to the doctor, what would really, really make you happy if what could happen?
I'd like to know what the hell's going on, number one. But, I mean, the way he told me was my blood's good, heart pressure's good, cholesterol's good, and he went on and on and all these tests they run.
But how do you feel, though? You don't feel that way, do you?
Well, I'm not fine because I've been sick 40 years.
Well, what's the gist of your issues, or what's the main issue that you deal with?
Well, originally, a little old doctor in Marlin checked me into a VA hospital for pancreatitis.
Pancreatitis?
Yeah.
Okay.
It turned out I had like 13 gallstones.
Oh, only 13, huh?
Only 13. They said I was full of them. But I was a young man.
Yes.
And luckily I overcame it, but hey, so-so. I fought this for the last 40 years.
Well, are you still dealing with the same issue?
Actually, I'm better in some ways.
Well, how would you like to be improved?
Always. I listen to your stuff all the time. I eat avocados.
But what do you want to accomplish? Tell me how your health can be better. What do you want to feel like?
I have to be able to stand up and walk.
Does that mean you're bedfast right now?
No, I walk about 20. I'm sitting in my office, which is approximately 20 feet from my couch and TV. And the rest of the time, I'm either on the couch watching TV or I walk back to my office and dream. And
okay.
It's hard to explain. I just bought a 24-foot cargo trailer. Hopefully, in the future, I can load it and do something with it.
Man, I'd love it if you could do something with that.
Yeah.
Well, the ticket is you got to get your strength back, right?
Right. You got to be able to stand up. Well, I just bought three. I bought three different kits, and I'm converting my Harley motorcycles over to three-wheelers because I dropped two of my bikes.
Sir, you may not know this, but I can determine when somebody's allergic to Harley-Davidsons. You should just give them to me right now, and I would do you a huge favor by getting rid of them for you.
My old sweet thing probably wouldn't be happy. That will show a head like being with Dad.
Well, I know, but think about how happy you would be by getting rid of them.
You sound like everybody else now.
Well, number one, I'm only joking, and you know that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got to come up with some reasonable, doable plan that you can implement where you can restore your health. And so, if I gave you a recommendation, I'd say, all right, why don't we start doing things to make you stronger? And here's a couple examples.
I like your one about the bend and thrust, the squats. That's a good advice.
There you go, and that can be a game changer. But if you took an herb called ashwagandha, or you took an herb called Korean ginseng, or Siberian ginseng, or one called cordyceps, those could start to build your strength. And that's what you need right now. You need healing energy and strength.
I have very little energy. I do good enough to get up and clear my head, do a crossword puzzle.
I believe you. However, what are we going to do to change this to where you can start producing energy? So if you started saying, okay, what am I going to need as a man to have energy? I got to have zinc and magnesium and B vitamins and vitamin D.
I take multivitamin every day, or I try to.
Well, what you eat is going to be a huge game changer. So if you're a man, you ought to be eating a little bit of red meat to build your strength.
Well, I ain't got no teeth, so number one.
That's what a blender's for, to make it easy.
I use the blender now. That's exactly right. We have choppers even. But what I started to say is I don't eat enough food. Let's see. I had two cookies.
Well, I had
a plate of food.
I really am so sorry to have to cut you off, but I'm completely out of time. But what I want you to do is you feel free to call me anytime you want because I'm liking this conversation.
Well, I want to do better than that. I won't take up an hour of your time at your office.
Well, it may take 2 hours for you.
Well, that's fine. I'll pay for 2 hours.
Good.
I need something reasonable.
Well, you give me a call, and we'll come up with some type of a plan to point you in a direction that's going to lead to
healing.
Well,
you're over in Palestine, right?
Jacksonville. Yeah.
Okay. It's a little bit.
Thank you for your call, buddy. I appreciate you, man.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
All right. Have a good day now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.